Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a random start here to the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Could you guys imagine if last Saturday night the Republicans had a big party in Helena, the Republicans had a big event, and they brought in maybe a not-so-big speaker, maybe it was, you know, the losing vice presidential candidate who is governing a failing state named Minnesota. Could you imagine if the Republicans had a massive event in Helena on Saturday night and a Republican state senator was so drunk that his BAC was nearly twice the legal limit, and he was so drunk that he passed out in his car in the middle of the road near a major intersection near downtown Helena? Could you imagine if that happened to a Republican state senator? Well, that happened to a Democrat state senator. Well, it didn't happen to she made it happen, but anyway, and look, I don't go after people over personal things and things like this, but could you imagine if this was a Republican, but this was a Democrat state senator out of Missoula, Ellie Boldman, who's very outspoken, prominent Democrat here in Montana, and she pleaded guilty Monday morning. Could you imagine if that happened to a Republican? First off, if it happened basically Saturday night / Sunday morning, this story would have been all over the news Sunday night, if not Sunday afternoon, if not that same morning. They wouldn't have waited until Monday night to finally have, you know, one or two outlets break the story. And then after that, they maybe would have had, what else would they have actually done? But if this was a Republican, They would have, the story would have been broken right away. There would have been follow-ups the next day. They would have had video of the court appearance. And then the day after that, they would be doing follow-up stories, asking why the Republican state senator hasn't resigned yet. The left wing would be organizing protests in front of the Capitol steps. They'd have victims of drunk drivers, families that would be out on the Capitol steps demanding that this Republican state senator resign. She was found by Helena law enforcement asleep in her vehicle at 1:18 in the morning, obstructing the roadway near the intersection of Park and West Placer Avenues on the northwest side of downtown Helena. She refused a field sobriety test, but consented to a preliminary breath test. Again, And what does the liberal media in Montana do? First off, they wait until Monday night to finally even do a news story. And then they're like, well, she's taken responsibility for her actions. Okay. Yeah, sucks that it happened. Bad news story for a second. Whoosh. Wipe it from the news. Disappear it from the news. You and I all know every single one of these liberal media hacks would be having a field day for an entire freaking week, month maybe, if this had been a Republican state senator, especially an outspoken one, right? Let's see. We got somebody on the phone lines. I don't know who it is yet. Let me check in.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some periods of light snow through the day today, otherwise staying with cloudy skies. Accumulations generally at an inch or less around the region. High temperature readings from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect some snow showers early on as temperatures will then head back in the mid-teens to around 20. And then we'll see some sunshine return to the area Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's March 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Cheese Doodle Day. I think we're all aware of this little snack which turns our fingers orange, but we still can't put them down. There remains a great deal of debate surrounding who may have actually invented cheese doodles, but one thing is not up for debate, how much people love them. Whether baked, crunchy, or fried, 15 million pounds are made each year. Also on this date, in 1770, the Boston Massacre took place. Widely considered the first conflict on the road to the American Revolution, British soldiers fired into a crowd of colonists who were pelting them with snowballs, ice, and rocks. Five colonists were killed by the British Redcoats, including African-American Crispus Attucks, who was the first to be killed and is considered the first casualty in the War for Independence. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin, born in 1966. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
As the Doge team goes agency by agency, highlighting waste, fraud, and abuse in federal government spending, a University of Montana program was mentioned by name in a video shared by the Pentagon spokesman. We've got that story and the reaction from the University of Montana. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the breaking news we first broke right at MontanaTalks.com, 17 illegal aliens busted at a job site in Big Fork, Montana.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, man, John Jackson, he ran into the studio this morning here. We're going to sneak him on here in just a second. Let me get to a couple callers first, but he still got the sleepy eye thing even going. I was like, John, come on in here, man. Come on in here. Get in the studio and join us here. All right, since I'm picking on you, I better open up your microphone. But yeah, good to see you. I was like, hey, you know, David Noble is taking the day off today, but you want to come in? Because here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to wait until next Tuesday to get your reaction to President Trump's address to Congress the other night. So I thought, hey, if David's taking the day off, let's bring the Joker in for a little while instead. So thanks for running in this morning.
The bat signal went up, and I mean, down the bat pole, right into the Batmobile.
I'm just glad it was a bat pole, because based off of some of your tweets, let's just say that's what I'm. I'll leave it at that. Hey, let's go to Tim and Billings on the phone lines. Tim, what's going on? Oh, he's on line two. Okay, all right, sorry. I thought line one would have been first. Okay, Tim called in first, though, so let's go to Tim and Billings first. All right, Tim, I got you now.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm kind of surprised at the news of that senator being arrested for DUI hit the news, considering the last time the relative of a prominent Democrat was arrested for DUI as well as possession of an entire pharmacy of illicit drugs, Melissa Romano's husband, that was, swept under the rug, and we weren't supposed to be allowed to know about that, you know. So kudos to the journalists in Montana for, you know, being broke, being right like a broke clock at least twice a day. But the other thing about...
And they actually included party affiliation. They included party affiliation. Yeah. We have to credit them, because typically in the past they'd be like, a state senator from Missoula was arrested. And when they don't include party affiliation, then you know it's a Democrat. And so, but they'd always, yeah, so at least they did that too.
Kind of like those cars in Bozeman that keep driving themselves the wrong way on the interstate, you know.
Self-driving cars. No illegal aliens behind the wheel there. It's just self-driving cars that are driving themselves the wrong way on the interstate drunk.
I wanted to see if John had the same opinion of the state leaders in Europe are now citing. They're really starting to back Ukraine and saying that they're going to finance them. I feel like John McClane standing at the edge of the window saying, "Welcome to the party, pal!"
Yeah, exactly. Great line. All right, well, we'll get John. I want to get John's take on that, too, because, yeah, it looks like the Ukraine deal may be back on, you know, so we'll get his take on that and much more. I love it, too, because he had zero time to prep. But you know what? This guy's prepping all day long. He's fighting on social media all day long, so he's fully prepped. He doesn't need anything in front of him. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, let's sneak on Jolene in the Gallatin Valley. You know, we got the transmittal deadline in the Montana legislature tomorrow. Jolene, what bill did you want to tell folks about today?
Hey, Aaron, good morning. Yeah, we've got one that we thought was dead yesterday in the Senate, but it's on a reconsideration vote. This is Senate Bill 473, and it actually has to do with prohibiting weather modification. So the amendments on this bill are good. The committee hearing was actually quite a mess, but the amended bill is good. We need folks to call in just to the entire Senate floor and say, yes, we want this bill to pass and make that transmittal deadline. Again, that's Senate Bill 473, Helena Switchboard, 406, 444-4800.
And I'm assuming there was discussion after the last legislative session where they were going to study, and we actually had the DNRC director on the show, they were going to study the idea of doing cloud seeding in the Big Hole Valley of Montana. Now, they haven't been doing that. They haven't been authorized to do it, but they were looking into doing it. So this bill would say, no, you won't be doing that, right? Is that a good summary?
Well, that's a great thought, and that's what we're hoping for. Unfortunately, this bill does not specifically talk about cloud seeding, so it's basically that other type of weather modification where they're not chasing clouds. They're just injecting, I don't know what they're injecting in the atmosphere, but we've got plenty of trails all around Bozeman. They're not contrails. We got folks that work at the airport that say, we're so sick of this. You know, they pay $700, pilot $700 an hour to fly, and they make sure to do an ethics screen, you know, so they don't really have a conscience. That can be all subjective. But anyway,
well, if you've got folks that work at the airport in Bozeman that will go on record with that claim, I would, you know, gladly throw them on the radio. But as far as I know, there's people who are saying, there's spraying right now, right above us. A year ago, there was a discussion about allowing things like cloud seeding to take place in Montana. But as far as I know, that's not happening and not allowed right now, but there is a bill that sounds like it's even broader. So anyway, Jolene, I appreciate the phone call. That is Senate Bill 473, if I'm not mistaken there. All right, John, we got about a minute to go before the break. Any quick reactions to what Tim and Billings threw out there just a couple of minutes ago?
Yeah, I haven't heard much more on Ukraine since the other day. You're not hearing back from Zelensky or anything about where he's at. A lot of it is Twitter rumor or social media rumor. But really, I don't know where they're going to go, because you know what? Just like Canada and Mexico are finding out that they're so intertwined with us on the economy that they have to do what Trump says on these tariffs, the Euro trash boys over there, they found out that because they've spent the last 50 years relying on our defense spending, now that they would surely enough like to step up and do this thing with Ukraine, they don't have the money or the military.
Well, yeah, that's the hard part. But then again, if they do have the money, what a brilliant way to force them to finally pony up some more money, because that and the White House blow up, whether real wrestling or WWE wrestling, sure got Europe to at least claim that they're going to step it up a little bit more. By the way, do you like soccer? Oh, hold that thought. I didn't hear the music. Stand by.
An economic minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from first-hand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump claims the Department of Government Efficiency, led by billionaire Elon Musk, is saving tens of billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse. And he's considering sending 20% of those savings to American taxpayers.
By doing this, Americans will tell us where there's waste. They'll be reporting it themselves. They participate in the process of saving money.
Another 20% of savings, the president says, would help pay down federal debt.
If you look at value, if it were a real estate balance sheet, the debt is tiny, but we still want to pay it down.
It's not yet clear how much the DOGE effort will save in several court cases or challenging actions the administration is taking to cancel funding and lay off federal workers. Musk first raised the idea of so-called DOGE dividend checks, saying he believes it could total $5,000 per taxpayer. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Hey.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, leaders of the Montana Stock Growers Association are in Washington, D.C., advocating for Montana's ranching community. Phillips County rancher Leslie Robinson is president of the Montana Stock Growers, and she says they continue to share the importance of producer profitability to our elected officials in Washington, D.C.
Producer profitability, we're always bringing our points that we kind of pick up on that project. And the Death Tax Repeal Act is one that all four of our congressional delegation have signed on to on the House and on the Senate side. So thank them for taking that on and I guess hoping for a repeal. But if it doesn't happen, at least put it as a permanent fix rather than sunsetting to have to come back and do this constantly. That's been one of the top things.
And for ranchers that utilize public grazing allotments on U.S. Forest Service and BLM lands, Stock Growers does not want them to be impeded by recent layoffs in government agencies.
The comments that we've made to the delegation is that we want to make sure that there aren't delays for turnout for the grazers on the federal lands, either Forest Service or BLM. And it seems like they are looking at what's been done and then bringing people back where needed. Another fluid thing that's happening right now.
Again, that was Stock Growers President Leslie Robinson. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, since Tim brought up Ukraine, something to that effect, I definitely want to get John Jackson's take on the State of the State address. I was also looking forward to hearing what David Noble's thoughts were on the State of the State as well, but he's taking the day off, so we got John filling in here in the 7 o'clock hour. He joins us every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour, which is, I'll tell you what, if you guys only listen to the radio show in the 7 o'clock hour, you are missing out because John joins us in the 8 o'clock hour, and it's always a great time as well. Ukraine deal. So I did see a statement from Zelensky where he appeared to basically be groveling back to President Trump. Oh, I'm so, you know, we need to get this back together. We need to come, you know, the deal, et cetera. And then yesterday I spoke with U.S. Senator Steve Daines, and he said that very thing, that it does look like everything's coming back together again, and Zelensky's wanting to come back to the table. I do think, I wonder if this was all part of the plan to where, you know, basically with Donald Trump coming in and saying, look, all right, we had this blow up in the Oval Office. We're out. We're cutting off aid funding. Then the Europeans are like, oh, man, we have to do something. Oh, all right, let's all rally, get additional money for Ukraine. But, you know, how much will they actually be able to rally, though, John? I think you made a great point on that front, which is like, oh, okay, so Justin Trudeau, the pretty little prime minister of Canada, we're going to send jets to Ukraine. Oh, how many jets do you have again? I mean, come on, man. You know,
what, somebody said they have 16.
Yeah.
Like the whole country. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to send you one.
I think the Bozeman Airport has more in two hangars than what Trudeau is going to send to the Ukraine, right? You know,
well, like, how Trump did this was not only the blow up, but then he came back in the ensuing days and said, okay, we're cutting off, we're pausing all aid, and we're also pausing all intelligence sharing. And see, that's the huge thing. We've been saying that for 3 years now. See, everybody has to understand that, yes, Ukrainian physical bodies are up at the front, but who's running this war are our guys. It's our spec ops guys over there with the special drones and the missiles and the tactical equipment that's striking into Russia. Without all of that support, I mean, these guys are dead right now, DRN, and they know that. And that was the second thing Trump announced, no more intelligence sharing.
Interesting. Yeah. Hey, speaking of Canada, did you see this? This video seemed like it kind of went viral. I forget where I first saw it. Well, actually, I've got the tweet in front of me here. Rachel Parker. Oh, I know where. Jeremy Carl, I think, had shared this. He's a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman. But Rachel Parker is apparently a Canadian journalist, and she shared this video a couple of days ago. Alberta lawyer Jeffrey Rath says that a delegation is planning to travel to Washington, D.C. to pitch President Trump on Alberta statehood. On statehood for Alberta, Canada. Here you go.
Alberta statehood.
Well, there's a group of Albertans that are working together right now to put together a delegation to go to Washington to talk to the Trump administration about Alberta petitioning for U.S. statehood. It's quite evident that we've been governed by idiots in Ottawa who don't understand that we can't afford a trade war with our largest trading partner. And rather than simply apologizing to President Trump for not meeting our NATO commitments and not adequately securing our border, apparently the Trudeau government has decided to declare a trade war and run up trillions of dollars in costs like they did during COVID on a made-up emergency. So there's a number of us in Alberta that have had enough and want to go speak with the Trump administration about the benefits of Alberta.
Well, John, that's another Joe Rogan, moment. That's like Joe Rogan after he just saw somebody get knocked out. You know, you were even laughing there as you heard him say, you know, we're apparently governed by idiots here in Canada.
They're going to rack up trillions of dollars just like they did in COVID, yeah. But you know what I found funny, too? Did you see that one province that they are making it illegal to purchase American liquor in their liquor
stores? That's Alberta. That's Alberta, yeah.
The first thing I thought of, I mean, think of it. If you've got a boat up there on one of the Great Lakes, dude, I'm going to become Al Capone right now. I'm going to start smuggling, because we have the best whiskey in the world down here. We're going to start smuggling that stuff into Canada at double the price right now.
Yeah. Well, be careful if you're using a boat, because I've been on a pontoon boat on the U.S.-Canada border up on Lake Coconusa there with State Senator Mike Cuff, and apparently they get aggressive there on that. I mean, not aggressive, but no, they do monitor that lake pretty good. So if you were trying to pontoon it in there, they might actually pick you up. Now, if you were, you know, a terror watch list guy a year ago under the Biden regime, just go through New England, you'll be fine.
Dude, I'm going to have my Don Johnson go fast, boy. I mean, they ain't catching me. I'm gone.
Well, you probably got that. You must have gotten that twin 400 horsepower pontoon boat they had at the RV and boat show at the Metro last week. Because with those twin 400s, yeah, you can make this work. We could make this work. All right. What did he think of the president's address to Congress on Tuesday night? I didn't want to wait till Tuesday, so thankfully he's here Thursday to tell us his reaction to this USAID Supreme Court ruling. He's got a good breakdown for you as well. I read something that Jonathan Turley wrote, but John Jackson here breaks it down even better, I think, puts it in puts it in layman's terms for Joe in the team room here. But, John, yeah, first off, your big takeaways and reactions to President Trump's speech the other night.
Biggest takeaway of the night as a whole is Donald Trump has learned through 9 years now that there is no compromise or coexistence with these Democrats. And you saw him in the first 5 minutes of that speech, he looked over at him and he said, "You see these people over here? There is nothing I can do or say that will make them clap or applaud or approve of me." And then he proceeded at least five times throughout the speech to point right at them and say, "Your policies, Joe Biden was the worst president in our history," talking about the border and crime. I mean, just really put it right in their face. He now fundamentally understands there is no negotiating with terrorists. He is sidelining them. You're out. He's not going to try any of this bipartisanship or any of this crapola with them. They're out.
Did you see even your buddy, I think you call him Sling Blade, I called him Mongo, from day one. John Fetterman, this is from thedailywire.com. John Fetterman torches his own party for their antics during President Trump's speech. And you've seen others, David Axelrod, prominent Democrat advisor. They've all just been torching the Democrats for just how stupid they made the Democrat, how childish they were, how pathetic they were the other night.
When's the last time you saw the sergeant at arms have to bring out his entire brigade to kick somebody out of there? They had to kick a Democrat congressman, Al Green, there, Mr. Teen Wolf. They had to kick him out. And what? How old is that man? He's got to be in his mid-70s, up there with his cane, shouting like, "You get off my lawn!" Right? They have to throw a guy out, and then they're all in there with their size. They've got them. They won't even stand up or cheer for a young boy that's got cancer. You've got that broad out of Debbie Dingell out of Michigan.
You didn't have to say broad. You could have used just Dingell, and that would have covered it, John. Come on.
Yeah. Did you catch her? She's rolling her eyes at that.
Oh, I missed that one.
When they introduce the boy with cancer, she rolls her eyes.
Really?
It's just despicable.
Wow, I missed that part. Yeah, that was the most heartwarming moment of the whole night, that little boy. And then he was at the White House the day after giving President Trump a hug. He's like, "I've got a hug for you." And the president's like, okay, that's nice. Thank you. You know, when he hugged that Secret Service director.
Oh, yeah.
Because that Sean Curran guy is like, he just looks like one of the toughest guys you ever served with, who would never break his poker face,
yeah,
never smile, never laugh, just did his job. But that kid broke him. You could tell. He's like, man.
Yeah, my allergies started acting up a little bit when that happened.
Had the same thing.
A little bit.
Started spraying Flonase in your nose, you know, to recover from that one. Anyway, yeah, John Fetterman called he said this about his fellow Democrats, a sad cavalcade of self-owned and unhinged petulance. I think somebody else might have written that line for him. It's just a suspicion, though.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Owen in Bozeman says this. Oh, wait, is this Owen who's got the distillery? I was just telling somebody the other day, the distillery, Black Pot Distillery in Belgrade, they make this blue corn mash bourbon that's got quite the spice to it. Yeah, you know, if you're a bourbon drinker, you know, like if you like a bourbon with your cigar, what I love about bourbon is you can just sip it, right? And you can just have one glass, you can just sip it, and you know what I mean? Like, you don't have the temptation to do something stupid, right? You know what, you know what I mean?
Well, let's not go that far.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if stupid things happen, that's just because you're just being stupid, right? Yeah. Anyway, but Owen says this. I don't know if this is the same Owen or not. Be a yokel. Buy local. American bourbon is far superior to that Canadian clown oil. He says there, but yeah, no, Black Pot Distillery. I was just telling a guy at the Cigar Lounge about this the other day. They've got this like blue corn mash bourbon, and it's got a real cool spice to it. Yeah, because the more I've been hanging out with these cigar guys, it's like they're like, "Oh, here, try some of this. Oh, try some of that." So I've gotten to sample some really good. Well, heck, you're Mr. Pappy Van Winkle yourself, so you know. And so, anyway, but of course, obviously, you got Willie's Distillery out there in Ennis, and he's the man, and he's got some incredible bourbon and his Devil's Brigade whiskey. I wonder, I have to ask Willie, I wonder if this affects his stuff at all or not, because the Devil's Brigade whiskey is actually USA and Canada, just like the first Special Service Force was a joint U.S.-Canadian force. So he's half American whiskey, half Canadian whiskey.
I'm telling you.
Or not half, it's 60-40 based off of the troop numbers. But
like a small distillery here in Montana, man, you start making that run right up to the border, drop, you know, chuck that stuff right off the, you know, midnight, chuck that stuff right across the border.
I was going to say, if you were in Lethbridge and you've had, you know, Willie's Distillery products, like his Bighorn Bourbon or the Devil's Brigade stuff, and now all of a sudden your premier is telling you, "Nope, you don't get any American whiskey. That's it, Uncle. Stop the trade war with America. We're done." I mean, it's over in a heartbeat.
Right? What's that line from Al Capone where he said somebody called him a bootlegger? And he said, "Yeah, out on the lake, they call it bootlegging. Down on Lakeshore Drive, they call it hospitality." But, dude, give me a ruling on this. I haven't heard the latest on bourbon, okay? I'd always heard that bourbon, to actually be legit, it had to be made in Kentucky. Just like, you know, legit champagne has to be made in France. What's the latest ruling on that?
You know, good question. I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't tell you that. Now, if you're from Kentucky, you would say, yes, has to be made in Kentucky. I don't know. I'd have to ask. There's actually a lady in Billings that does these cool, like, bourbon tastings. I'd have to ask her what her take is on all that. She does some really cool, like, bourbon tasting events. But, yeah, anyway. Hey, but man, we could talk bourbon and cigars all day long, couldn't we? I know somebody's going to complain. Why are you guys talking about alcohol? Okay. This is America, you know, to save the pearl clutching. And I get it. There's people that struggle with that sort of stuff. I mean, we've got a Democrat state senator that just got busted with a DUI. So
I hate to see that.
But do you agree with me that, like, if that was a Republican state senator that blew nearly twice the limit on the BAC content and was passed out near an intersection in the middle of the road in her vehicle, if that was a Republican, the media would be having a field day with that. But it's a Democrat, one-day story, 2 days later, eventually they get to it, and then whoosh, wipe it off the news press.
Well, just what did they just do against this guy Ellsworth? I mean, they went after him how long over his, you know, corruption allegations? How long did they go after him? I mean, they would have done the same thing with this DUI.
Which was kind of a surprise in the Ellsworth example, because he had kind of been working with the Democrats to undermine the current Senate president. So it was interesting, the jujitsu that was being done there, because, like, the Democrats were like, ooh, we really want to attack the Republicans, but ooh, he's working with us. So
he's got an R beside his name. We want to do him so bad.
What do we do?
What is helping the Democrats?
Well, and so then now, like, the liberal Montana Free Press, which I think they finally did a story on the Saturday night arrest, DUI arrest, like, today or last night. So the liberal Montana Free Press totally ignores the story about the Democrat state senator for several days. But they have some stupid story that's come out. Well, the Senate president hired a general counsel. He hired this general counsel for, like, something like $5,000. Lawyers are pretty expensive. Like, oh, you're trying to make it sound like, anyway, it's this whole story that's much ado about nothing. And it's like, man, these guys pretend to do this big old hit piece on the Republican Senate president. That's a story. That's a much ado about nothing story. And then meanwhile, they wait, 5 days to cover a story about a Democrat state senator passed out drunk in the middle of the road? I mean, my goodness.
Let me engage in this fantasy here for a second, Aaron. Now, we've learned so much. Maybe we've learned just the tip of the iceberg about all this NGO money, particularly coming out of USAID. And so much of it, what do you want to bet? So much of that stuff went through two different companies and is propping up these liberal independent rags out here like the Montana Free Press. And if they start actually choking off the money and say past March here, or whenever that the money that they've got in their accounts has dried up now from Joe Biden supporting them for the last 4 years, what's going to become of them?
Oh, hey, thankfully we just got a message on our Montana Talks app. I forgot to mention this one. So earlier on in the 6 o'clock hour of this show, my buddy Captain Bruce, retired Navy captain, we served together over in Africa together. He lives out in Florida. He sent me a photo of the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. I sent it to you on your X account. You'll see it on your phone here in a second. Front page of the Wall Street Journal. It's a pretty funny photo in a way. It's Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke leaving an office on Capitol Hill. Yeah, you see it. You're seeing it for the first time. Describe the front page of the Wall Street Journal for us, John.
Oh, my God. It's Zinke with his cowboy hat on, stepping over a crowd of these protesting scumbags that are all sitting on the floor, and he looks like he's trying to step over cow pies right there. He's like hiking his leg up, trying to not step in the cow pies there.
See, that's a way better description than I was going to give. See, you got these lefty loony protesters that are all, you know, basically barricading the entry and the exit to this office. Looks like they're trying to stop democracy.
It's kind of insurrection-y.
So I shared this photo on X. Go to x.com/AaronFlint. And they asked, one of the first comments on there, I got to see who was the one who made that comment. They said, yeah, that looks very insurrection-y. there.
But wait a minute. Don't we now that we have the speaker, Mac Jensen is the speaker of the House, don't we control the Capitol Police? I've always wondered how are these things allowed inside the building? Now, I see out in the public how that's allowed out in the public, out on the street, you're allowed to. What is it, lawfully assemble or whatever the word is. How are they allowed to come in the building and do that?
Well, I mean, look, if you want to sit in the hallway and, you know, have a sign and protest or whatever, hey, these are public buildings, free speech, go for it. But blocking the entryway, for a member of Congress from Montana to be able to do his job for his constituents. Now, granted, he can step right over these, you know, community organizer, you know, Soros activists. But still, like, you know, no, if they're going to block the entryway for us as Montanans to go into our office to see our congressman, put some handcuffs on those guys and get them the heck out of there.
I mean, you can easily, the Speaker and the Capitol Police can set rules for this kind of stuff. You can come and go, like you say, go into, if you have business, but you are not allowed to participate in protests inside the building.
By the way, it was at Desert AIP on X. I think one of your followers as well, one of your friends as well, who said, looks very insurrection-y.
Insurrection-y. Sure looks that way.
Now, this is funny. So we were talking about the Democrat state senator who passed out drunk in the middle of the road and got arrested for the DUI. Goes by the name Crayon Eater. So it's one of our Marine Corps veteran friends here in Billings. But Aaron, she was waiting for an Uber. She told the newspapers that she was just waiting for an Uber to come pick her up in the middle of the street, passed out.
Aaron, I think as a media person, you need to petition over there and get the cam. Get the body cam footage of when she was first encountered by the police officer. That should be gold. Gold,
oh,
Jerry. Gold.
Interest. That's a good point. Why didn't you even think about that? There's going to be a dash cam video footage. There's going to be body cam footage. Now, Jake Eaton, if you follow him on X, he tweeted out the booking photo. So apparently there's a booking photo, but apparently none of these liberal news outlets wanted to include the booking photo, I guess. So.
I'll lay $50 right now that at some point, she's going to say, don't you know who I am? Don't you know I'm a senator?
I'm a state senator.
$50.
I'm a state senator. Did you ever watch The Office?
Yeah.
Who was the blonde gal? And she's like, he's a senator. And they're like, oh, come on, he's a state senator.
That's not really
no
count.
Offense to
it's
the
like
legislators.
The JV team. Come on.
No offense to the legislators, of course. Oh, that was hilarious.
There she is, founder and CEO. High five.
Dave can't stop celebrating with every business owner in town.
All right, Baker Man. High five.
He's sharing the excitement of big savings with the Comcast Business 5-year price lock guarantee.
Oh, up top, bike shop.
Yeah. It's 5 years of gig speed internet.
Quick, high five.
5 years of advanced security.
5 years.
And 5 years of a great rate that won't change.
Yeah, law partners. Chamberlain, Bessethorpe, Dubois.
All from the company with 99.9% network reliability. Switch today and get the 5-year price lock guarantee.
5 years!
It's back, but only for a limited time.
Woo!
Powering 5 years of savings, powering possibilities. Comcast Business.
Can't forget you, voiceover guy.
Ah, thanks, Dave.
High five!
Ends 3/9/25. Guaranteed rate applies to monthly service charge for new customers on qualifying internet bundle, excluding taxes and fees. Other restrictions apply.
News commentary.
Democrats selected moderate Senator Slotkin of Michigan to deliver the response to the president's joint session address, but make no mistake, their party is as woke as ever. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will Cain Show.
Russian, Ukrainian, European, but most importantly, he says, American stockpiles, resources, and security on bad footing. Given that, we recognize reality and we pursue peace. This is a fascinating restructure of the global political landscape that many are having trouble keeping up with, as I think J.D. Vance and Donald Trump remake America.
Get the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Democrats have shown us in the last month they are the party of war, the party of the patriarchy, the party of bureaucracy, big government, and the status quo. For them to squeal so loudly about Doge cuts is for them to basically admit they love big bloated government and they don't want to reform it. They think the way it's been done for the last 25 plus years is good enough, and that doesn't resonate with real America. But they're really hoping that moderate freshman Senator Slotkin of Michigan will do it for them in tonight's response to the president. Sure, she won a swing district that Trump also won, and she's urged her party to not rely relies so heavily on identity politics. So by their standards, I guess she's a moderate. Well, for the sake of our two-party system, I hope she resists the urge to lie about and obsess over President Trump and Elon Musk and her address, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some periods of light snow through the day today, otherwise staying with cloudy skies. Accumulations generally at an inch or less around the region. High temperature readings from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect some snow showers early on as temperatures will then head back in the mid-teens to around 20. And then we'll see some sunshine return to the area Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit Love Your Mom.
Visit your friendly job service staff today to get prepared. We'll see you at Jobs Jamboree March 19th at Metro Park Pavilion.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this is going to be awkward. No, it won't. It's going to be great. We're going to go from John Jackson, the Joker from X, to a chaplain. Because John's going to stick around for part of the 8 o'clock hour. So we're going to go from John to... No, actually, this is really cool. So I got to figure out how to pronounce his last name. I think it's Soldrum. It sounds Scandinavian, if you ask me. But no, this is sounds like he's just going to be an incredible speaker for the Billings Christian School's upcoming banquet. I think that's this month already. I know I have the honor of being the MC for that event. But he's a retired United States Army Major General who was the 25th Chief of Chaplains of the United States Army from May 31st, 2019 until his retirement. And so anyway, yeah, apparently he was the command chaplain for U.S. Army Special Forces Command, for the Joint Special Operations Command, which is otherwise known as JSOC, and SOCOM, U.S. Special Operations Command. So anyway, he's going to join us later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, so that should be pretty cool. And so for those of you who haven't gotten your tickets or purchased a table to bring your friends to the Billings Christian School banquet, you're going to hear exactly why you'll want to be there. John, what was your favorite line of the... I already know what your favorite line of the night is. It was one of my favorites as well, but for our listeners who haven't heard it, what was your favorite line from President Trump Tuesday night?
When he... Once again, it plays right into what we said a minute ago, where he called out the Democrats right to their faces, and he said... All we ever heard from the Democrats was that we needed new legislation to secure the border. Well, it turns out all we needed was a new president. And, I mean, he delivered that with such timing. And the way he did it was just the moonshot. It was the home run, crack, you know, all the way over the back bleachers.
Yeah, and in fact, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, I played the clip yesterday, but if you missed it, go to MontanaTalks.com. I've got a headline featuring... Senator Steve Daines talking about the Ukraine deal, but that video is included in that story, so you can find that clip right there as well. But John, you and I, throughout the 2024 election cycle, this was the fake news that the liberal media in Montana would run with. You know, the Montana Television Network would pull this garbage, the liberal Lee newspapers, they were all trying to help John Tester, and so they would run with John Tester's talking point. Well, he supported a bill to secure our southern border. No, he didn't. That bill would not have secured our southern border. And even if a bill would have, you don't need a bill. The border got flung wide open because of Joe Biden opening it up through executive order. So Joe Biden alone could have shut down the invasion on our southern border. But John Tester and Joe Biden didn't want the invasion shut down. They wanted it to happen. But the liberal media constantly covered for Joe Biden and John Tester with that phony talking point. That's why that line was so great last night.
And the god-awful, infuriating thing about that lie was that the Republicans helped him do it. You had
a couple of them, Mitch McConnell
and Lankford are the ones that set that thing up so they could call it a bipartisan bill and all that. But see, the most infuriating lies you'll ever hear in your life is when you have right here, I have on your pamphlet right here, Aaron, where it says the Devil's Brigade, Chapter 28, Montana. But when the Democrats will come right and say, no, it does not say that. And no, right here in black and white, you MFer, it says it right there. Okay?
Don't you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's what they did with that border bill for a year.
Oh, yeah. Hey, John, stick around for part of the 8 o'clock hour, if you can, at least the first couple of segments, because, yeah, I want to get more of your reactions to the, because we ended up talking about so many other topics. I want to get more of your reactions to the President Trump's speech Tuesday night. Plus, you got to hear how Adam Carolla described the Democrats.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.